Exactly. It's, you know, when you're looking at that Isaiah passage and you read it, you can't help but hear Handel yeah. in your ears. Every valley. I think it's terrible that Isaiah plagiarized like that from. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Remind everybody.
Yes. And I have been told that my mother and my sister have joined us today and are listening. And Mom, I'll tell you right up front, there are no illustrations that involve anything that you ever did to me. So we're going to be okay today. That was a scary noise.
Remind everybody to mute.
Yeah, remind everybody to mute. That sounded kind of like the music from Psycho. One of the things that we lack in America, I mean, we have a lot of things that we lack, but I think the official title of herald is something that we just don't have. But, you know, others do. Now, we have a couple of heralds in our scripture this morning. We have Isaiah, the prophet, prophesying to the people of Israel that if you go to the chapter before this, he's telling Hezekiah, hey, we're going to be carried away into captivity. Everything you have is going to Babylon. But then he gives them these words of comfort that in the end, God is going to bring everyone home from Babylon. God promises a lot. And then we hear from another herald today, John the Baptist, called the forerunner of Christ, but a herald by any other name is a herald. Now, in England, Ireland, Scotland, Canada, and India, they still officially use heralds. And I've discovered in reading about them this week that there are a lot of different kinds of heralds who are there to announce a lot of different kinds of things. They generally serve as a spokesperson for whoever they represent. They could represent nobility. They could represent royalty. And some of them even represent municipalities and so forth. But when they're acting in an official capacity, they generally wear a surcoat called a tabard, and it's decorated usually on the chest with the coat of arms of the person that they're serving. And their message is preceded by the ringing of a bell. Some people call them ringers. They ring a large bell, and they usually cry out to get your attention, oye, oye, and then they give you that message. Now, some of you might remember back in 2013, when Prince George of Cambridge was born to the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. I looked it up. He was born at 4:24 p.m. on the 22nd of July, 2013. He was born at St. Mary's Hospital in Paddington, London. He is a future king, third in the line of succession to that British throne. Now, Americans have an insatiable desire to follow and read about all things that the royal family is involved with. You can see it when you're in the grocery store and you go through, somebody from the royal family is going to be on one of those tabloids. And I don't understand this. I mean, we fought two wars to get rid of them, but we want to know all about them. But nevertheless, hundreds of reporters were at the hospital that day in London. They were standing outside St. Mary's main entrance. They had sent camera teams. They had their reporters there with the mics, waiting and waiting for that child to be born. And suddenly, at the proper moment, a herald ascended the steps right there at St. Mary's Hospital. Dressed in the full medieval regalia, he rang his bell and said, oye, oye, and then he unrolled a scroll and he announced the birth of the future king. And in case you're wondering what oye means, it's not a word we generally use. It comes out of French through the Anglo-Normans, and it simply means, hear ye, listen, listen. I think all parents should have that word ready. Oye, oye, as they shake you. But as far as I know, that word is used in the United States in only one place. It announces the beginning of a session of the Supreme Court. But that day in June, in front of St. Mary's Hospital, the American journalists were mesmerized by this guy. They took him to be the bona fide mouthpiece of Buckingham Palace. CNN's Anderson Cooper described the scene saying, "The royal crier is delivering the royal news." On Fox News, Stuart Varney told viewers the herald was the town crier making the official announcement in a very loud voice and in his full regalia. The herald that day was none of the things the American press thought him to be. He was Tony Appleton, who had received a tip from someone in the hospital, put on his costume, got in a taxi cab and went to St. Mary's, got out and rang a bell and read the announcement. He was not a royal herald. In fact, he's not connected to the royal family in any way whatsoever. The birth of Prince George was actually announced the same way all royal births are announced. A bulletin was placed on an easel outside the main gate at Buckingham Palace. There were very few news people there at the easel. They had all gathered at the hospital for the main event. Now, Tony Appleton, who incidentally does love the royal family, fooled almost the entire world press because he gave the press what they were expecting. They were expecting something like him, something grand, something royal, something ancient, something traditional. Like I said, there were very few reporters at the easel because that's not what anyone was expecting. Now, this brings us to a true royal herald, John the Baptist. Mark tells us he didn't show up in the city with his message of a coming king. Instead, he was out in the wilderness. He was not dressed with a tabard. He did not have a bell. He did not cry out, oye, oye. He called out, repent, repent. He wasn't dressed like a herald. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And I don't think we have to discuss his dietary habits to understand that he's not what they were looking for. Although, as I understand it, locust and wild honey is not too bad if you use the wild honey as a dip. Think of salsa and chips. John didn't cry out with a bell. He simply cried out, repent and be baptized. And this herald in the wilderness had a most profound message about the coming king. Listen to what Mark wrote. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, every year in Advent, we hear the message of John the Baptist crying in the wilderness. Every year we have heard this peculiar herald And it seems that we've heard it so many times that we're not the least bit shocked by his appearance. We're not the least bit shocked by his profound and unusual message. He's become like that weird family member that we've all learned to tolerate. Well, you know how John is. And can you see him sitting there at your Thanksgiving dinner table? Dressed in camel hair. But the message of this strange herald is transformative news. He's announcing not only the coming of the king, but he's talking about the transformative power of this king. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He was right. In the sacrament of holy baptism, all Christians have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now think about that for just a moment and let it sort of sink in. The Holy Spirit of God has been given to you and resides in you, has been given to me and resides in me. The Holy Spirit of God, God himself. John's message is about a game-changing event. It's the linchpin of all of human history. The promise of Emmanuel, God with us, is made possible by the coming of this king. You know, we sang two verses of Come Emmanuel for the lighting of the Advent wreath. We sang two last week, and we'll continue to do so throughout Advent. And we associate Emmanuel, God with us, with the coming of this Christ child. And that's true. That is God in Christ Jesus coming to us. And we don't think to apply the title of Emmanuel to the Holy Spirit, who is Emmanuel, God with us, in the most literal sense of the words. It's a promise, and it's true for all times. It's the coming King, Jesus, who made this possible. Our King made it possible for each one of us. And now, I don't want to do this, but this is the linchpin of the sermon. As the baptized, you and I are called to be royal heralds. We are royal heralds for our King. Our mission is not all that different from John. Now, we don't have to dress like him, you'll be glad to know. We don't have to follow that diet plan. But we do cry out in the wilderness for people to repent. And we cry out for people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You and I are called, just like John, to prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord into the lives of those who are languishing in the wilderness. And here we kind of have one up on John. We have that gift of the Holy Spirit. We have that gift of God with us daily. And so our words and our lives should reflect him to the world. Should reflect the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Your homework assignment is to read the fifth chapter of Galatians. That's not one of our lessons today. But in the fifth chapter of Galatians, the Apostle Paul compares and contrasts the way of the flesh and the way of the Spirit. That way of the world versus the way of Christ. And he lists the acts of the flesh and just lists them right before he lists the fruit of the Spirit. And compare those. Now, I'll not read to you all the acts of the flesh. You'll see when you read it that Paul says, they are obvious. The works of the flesh, the acts of the flesh are obvious. And some stand out to us, and they're the ones we think of when we say flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. But listen to the rest of this list. It's like we're watching the news. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, writes Paul. Does this not sound like the broken society that we live in? Now add to that civil strife, racial tension, political unrest, unemployment, a worldwide pandemic. We are in a wilderness. It's this wilderness that we live in, that we work in, that we are called to minister in. We are to be the heralds in this wilderness. There is so much stress in people's lives right now that they are being crushed by depression. Now take all of that wilderness and contrast it with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, in this wilderness, if the fruit of the Spirit is flowing from your life, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. It's the opposite of what's going on in the world. We have a message for this world. We have a message that everyone needs to hear. And I know that we are extremely, extremely limited right now in this pandemic as to what we can do to share the gospel message of Christ with others. We are heralds, but we're heralds wearing masks over our mouths. And we're limited in our mobility. Where can we go? What can we do? But there are numerous little things that we can do. Tiny seeds that we can plant in people's hearts and lives. Simply by displaying the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Show love, show joy, show peace. Be patient and be kind. Display goodness and faithfulness and be gentle and maintain self-control. Always be mindful. Always be mindful that you are a royal herald. Even when you have to be a silent herald. You don't have to get all dressed up and ring a bell and shout, oye, oye, or anything else. And we can do simple, tiny things. And I know we've said these in other sermons. You know, when you're in the grocery store, thank the cashier for being there to serve you. I promise you, it will lift your spirits. Send a note of thanks to the staff in hospitals and in clinics, thanking them for being there for us. Even if they haven't served you, they're there for us. And speak kind words to everyone you meet. Especially if they seem to be in a foul mood or upset about something or in distress. Speak a kind word into their lives. Prepare the way of the Lord into their hearts and into their lives. Now, I don't have an exhausted list of, of what we should be doing. I'm just as frustrated as you are. I'm struggling with this as much as anybody. But what we can do, we can ask the King. Go to the King in prayer and ask, how can I be a herald for you today? How can I be a herald for you, Lord, in the things that I'm going to be doing today? Keep me mindful that I am your herald. And help me to be faithful to that calling. Amen.